just want to read like one of the first four verses. First Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, 2 weeks ago, I went to Ezekiel 34, where we have the word of the Lord to Ezekiel to tell the shepherds of Israel. Now, I do want to state this categorically. In Ezekiel 34, that's not a metaphor. It's not an allegory. It was an actual fact. God said, I am against the shepherds of Israel. And that meant, here's the deep, deep meaning, that the Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, was against the shepherds of Israel because they did not feed his flock. That's what he tells us. And he tells us very clearly and very repeatedly because we need to be told clearly and repeatedly because we will forget. He told Ezekiel to prophesy against the shepherds, and woe be to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves and don't feed the flock. There's nothing wrong with feeding yourself. The shepherds are supposed to feed. The shepherds have to eat just like everybody else. The condemnation came because they didn't feed the flock. These guys were just like today. We're looking out for number one. And I'm sorry, I'm number one, not you. That's the way it comes out. These were not feeding the flock of God. And God was going to require it at their hand. He said, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. And I got to thinking about this. Like I said, this is the Lord God saying, I'm against you. Well, Paul wrote in Romans the positive part of this. If God be for you, who can be against you? Well, the answer is, it doesn't matter. Nobody. Well, here's the negative. If God's against you, who's for you? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because if God's against you, you are in what's called a whole heap of trouble. That's what it is. And that was the condemnation. I am against these shepherds because they don't feed my flock. That's their job, and they were not doing it. He said also, seemeth it a small thing to you. And that's what it seems to them. That you have fouled the residue with your feet. You've ate, but you fouled it. To God, this is not a small thing. Right. To men, it's natural. That I'm going to get mine. And you better get yours, but I'm going to get mine first. That's not the way it's supposed to be. God, this is not a small thing. But he said, I will deliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will bring. I will save.
Right.
I will send my shepherd.
Right. Yeah.
The flock can go through some rough times. But the Lord God, the same who was against these shepherds, will take care of his flock.
Amen.
It's a guarantee.
Yeah.
It's a guarantee. Now, I know all that's in the Old Testament. And that's when God was mean in the Old Testament. Y'all know that, don't you? That's what it is. You listen to people, they'll tell you. God was mean in the Old Testament. He said, woe unto them, and hear that, and take this, and eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and vote for me, and I'll set you free. And God was mean in the Old Testament. Well, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 23. Because we want to hear the words of the sweet Lord Jesus Christ, who loves everybody and wants everybody to come to be saved, and who is just meek and mild and look upon a little child. And Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ did say some wonderful, sweet, compassionate things.
Amen.
But he also said a lot of other stuff.
Yes.
And I'm getting a little dry here. Matthew chapter 23, I want to look at verse 13. Just basically going to read this because you'll see it is actually a little familiar from what Ezekiel 34 was. Excuse me, let me get to the right verse. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Yeah.
For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Not only do they ruin it for others.
Sure.
They don't go in themselves. They don't want you to go in.
Yeah.
Man, that seems awfully human. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. There's a lot of going about. There's a lot of going about. Going about, going about, but that's not necessarily good. There are those that is spoken of that are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, which is in Christ. And that's what these Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites were doing. Devouring widows' houses for a pretense, making long prayer. Compassing sea and land for one proselyte. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind. Christ is turning on the charm here. You know that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People? Christ didn't read it. Jesus Christ didn't care about that. He cared about the truth
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And these are facts that he is stating. He's not making up anything. He's not exaggerating anything to make it seem worse, which, you know, we do. We do. He didn't have to. He knew the absolute truth. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law of judgment, mercy, and faith. And these ye ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do them all.
Sure.
Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I love that phrase. They will take and believe and teach the most outrageous things today. But if you read this book to them, they say, well, Jesus ain't like that. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Yes, Jesus Christ platted a whip, made a whip, and drove the money changers out of the temple. Why? Because they weren't supposed to be there. You've taken my father's house and made it a house of, what is it?
Thieves.
And you try to make merchandise of men's souls. Boy, that sounds awfully familiar today. You know, if you don't have a big house and a Cadillac, I'm glad they leave Lincoln out of it so I don't have to deal with it. If you don't have a big house and a Cadillac, it's because you don't believe God enough. It's your fault. You haven't claimed the promises. Now, I don't find a promise of a Cadillac in this book anywhere. I don't find the claim of a Honda Civic in this book anywhere. What I do find in here is that the good shepherd takes care of his flock. And he feeds his flock. Now, there's more. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed, appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You look alive on the outside, but on the inside you're dead. These are the people that are supposed to be leading the sheep of Israel.
Right.
The house of Israel. These are the guys that are supposed to be in charge. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We wouldn't have done that. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves. You be careful what you say, because sometimes you tell on yourself. That ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus Christ laid it right on the line. And he laid it right where these men were at. The reason I equate this with Ezekiel 34 is found in the second verse. Well, actually, first three or four verses of chapter 23 here, before Christ started this woe unto everybody, scribes and Pharisees, Verse 1 of chapter 23 says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Mm-hmm. Now, this is not Jesus Christ saying that the scribes and the Pharisees are the successor of Moses. In most of the translation, in Young's literal translation, I got somewhere here, because it is actually, the way it actually is written, it says, "On the seat of Moses sat down the scribes and the Pharisees." Right. They've put themselves in this place. They want this place. They put themselves there. It's not saying God put them there, although God did put them there. Because they weren't going to be there unless God allowed them to be there. But they have taken this upon themselves. They have put themselves in the place of trying to be the shepherds of the flock of God. And this is why Christ broke bad on them. Told the truth on them, which is the last thing anybody wants done about them. They sit in Moses' seat, and therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. He tells them. Christ tells them to do this. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Guess what? They are not helping. They're not helping. And all their works they do to be seen of men. Make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. Rabbi, Rabbi. Don't be called Rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ. Yeah. These people had put themselves in that place saying that we are in charge. Stand up to read, you sit down to teach. Christ said, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe you and do. Now, I'm not saying Christ said, be blind followers of the blind. Because if you look back in 16, chapter 16 and chapter 13 and some others, you will see that Christ has already warned about the leaven of the Pharisees. He's already spoken against the Pharisees before. And what he's saying here is, they are not feeding the flock. So you've got it in the Old Testament, you've got it in the New Testament. Now we go back to Peter, where it says, feed the flock of God which is among you. This is the instruction from Peter to the elders. And he said this, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. And it didn't register until last week, or week before last. Peter was not giving instruction here as an apostle, even though he was one. Peter was an apostle. But he's saying, I'm an elder just like you are. The word is co-elder. Co-presbyter is how it's translated. I am a co-elder. I know what it is to be an elder, to lead and to feed the flock of God. He's talking to elders where they are as himself being an elder, not up from up on high as an apostle saying, you better do this. Peter's saying, I've been there. I know what you're doing. And I know what God wants us to do. And what he wants us to do is feed the flock of God which is among you. Now, I mentioned this to Walter in a phone call the other day. The word here, where it says feed the flock, is more than just feed. It's translated feed here, it's translated feed in another place. where Jesus is having his one of his last discussions with Peter. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Now he uses the word agape. And Peter says, yes, I philios thee. I love thee. Feeling, brotherly feeling. Mm-hmm. And I've been into that, and I remember Earl preaching it, and it's a beautiful thing. But the thing I didn't realize is when he says, feed, then Christ says, feed my lambs. Mm-hmm. Well, that is the actual word, feed. Give my lambs food. The second time he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, I love you. The second time Christ says, feed my sheep. The third time he also says, feed my sheep. But that's two different words for feed my sheep. The third one is to give them food. The second one, the one in the middle, is to tend my sheep. To pastor my sheep. And that's the word that Peter uses here. Pastor, tend the flock of God. It includes feeding. It includes nourishment. It includes that, but it's not limited to that. There's more to it than that. So, I wanted to look up kind of make a list, because preachers like lists. of what it means to tend to or pastor the flock of God. Well, I got a list, but basically I just stole it from Ezekiel 34. Because what God told Ezekiel to tell against the shepherds of Israel that they weren't doing, that's what we should do. Ezekiel 34 says, don't feed yourselves and not feed the flock. Well, here's what you're supposed to do. Do feed yourself and the flock. And the flock. Don't kill them that are fed and don't feed the flock. Well, feed the flock and don't kill them that are fed. Don't leave the weak and the sick alone. Do strengthen as best as you can the diseased and heal the sick. Care for the flock of God. He's purchased them with his own body, with his own blood. The flock is precious to the good shepherd. Bind the broken and bring again that which was driven away. Don't rule. But especially don't rule with force and cruelty. That's what he accused those of in Ezekiel 34. Just don't rule. I'm sorry. That's not what we're here for. That's not the job of the pastor or the elder. It's not to rule. Peter's going to go into that in just a second. Don't tread down the pasture. Don't foul the residue. Keep the water clean and deep. And keep the food clean and pure. Feed the flock with good food and good drink. And don't foul it yourself while you're in there. I wrote this one down. Don't push the flock with your horns, Walter. That's what it says in Ezekiel 34. Oh, just don't. Just don't do that. We are to exhort. We are to reprove and rebuke.
Yes.
Okay. That's telling the negative of what not to do. But we are also to exhort, which is to tell you what positive things to do. But it is with all long-suffering and doctrine. Sound teaching. We don't just wave our heads around and try to push people around. It's not to be done that way. Don't scatter. gather. Mm-hmm. Feed the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The flock needs sheep food, the word of God, the truth of Christ, the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why I come here, is because I want to hear about him. We have a good time. I enjoy coming here, and I enjoy talking to everybody. And some days, it's not too bad to stand up here. Other days, not so much. But the message is the food. And the message is to be about Christ, about what he's done, about who he is, about what he's going to do, and what he's doing right now. And if you don't like that message, that's okay too. There are plenty who don't. But that is to be meat and drink to the flock of God. And it is meat and drink to the flock of God.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people here and a lot of people leave. Thankfully, just one or two at a time and not everybody all at once. But they left because of what has been said here. Because of the truth of Jesus Christ. Some people just won't have it. And that's the way it is. Christ put it this way, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I looked at this with the verbs in John 6:54, where it says, whoso eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, and hath eternal life. Eateth is in the present active tense. Drinketh is in the present active tense. And hath is in the present active indicative tense, which means indicative tense means it's a fact. There is no doubt about it. If you eat and you drink, it's because you're alive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't eat and drink to become alive.
No.
Dead people don't eat. Amen. Aaron Walter pointed that out, plain as day. And it's like, wow, you know, that's exactly what he's talking about here. If you eat and drink, it's because you're alive.
Yes.
And if you won't have Christ, if you won't drink his blood, if you won't eat his flesh, if you don't want to dine on him, to consume him, to take him into your being, it's because you're not alive. You have no proof of life. Because if you're living, you're going to eat. You're going to eat. And you're going to eat sheep food because you're a sheep. And the rodeo started. Well, it's going to be for you, Walter, because I'm about done.
I can speak louder.
Yeah, I hear that. We are not eating and drinking to get life. The flock eats and drinks because he has given them life. Because if you don't eat or drink, you're dead. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me.
Yeah.
And I in him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I in him.
Yeah.
Why are you hungry? Because he's in you. He's in you. Why you want to hear about him? Because he's in you. Why do you want to speak about him? Because he's in you. The flock desires the sincere milk and meat of the Word of God, the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wrote this down, something I told Earl years ago, and I'll stand by it, that the flock of God is not hard to please. Just don't lie to us.
Right.
The truth of God is enough.
Right.
If he's in you. He's in you.
Yeah.
Because Earl was talking about being a little... He was talking about Isaiah 53, talking about preaching from it. It's hard work, and it is hard work preaching sometimes. And I said, "Ah, Earl," I said, "we're not hard to please. Just tell us the truth. Just tell me the truth. That's what I want." As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. A measure, somewhat, of what your appetite is that can be, I don't know if I use the word sign, but an indication to yourself. This is individually for you. If you hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a good sign. Now, if you come and you're mad because you don't get entertained and we don't have a choir and we don't have an organ, you're lucky we got a piano. I mean, and some days when my voice is like this, it doesn't help. I still can't sing that well. But if you come here and are happy to come here to hear the Word of God proclaimed, that's a good sign that you're part of the flock. Mm-hmm. Because he's gathering his flock.
Yeah,
and there is, I said this 2 weeks ago, I'll say, there is only one flock.
Yeah.
There's one flock, one shepherd, one faith, one Lord, one baptism.
Amen.
And only one. It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he's gathering his flock. And he does it through his word.
Yeah.
This is all we got to tell each other about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Peter's saying here. Feed the flock.
Yeah.
Tend the flock. If you're an elder, this is your job. And that's what I want to do. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. Most of all, we are thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did purchase his people with his precious blood, who did take in his own body their iniquity, and who has raised for their justification. He has obtained eternal redemption for us. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.